Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of October, recording at 10:20 p.m. still British Summer Time. Okay, this being Friday, it's the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes, but first, quick run through the highlights. Some of the Asian stock markets trying to steady a bit in here. One of the most overextended on the downside, one of the weakest European stock market recently, a little bit firmer, that's the S&P MIB, that's the Italian market. Wall Street seesawed in here today. We're getting a lot of sort of schizophrenic action here. Dow closed down, the other two indices closed up a bit. And precious metals bounced from support levels, some reasonably good gains in here, and interestingly, occurred as the dollar rallied after an early sell-off. And oil didn't maintain that break under 60 in here today. Okay, big picture. Well, I think the evidence that the U.S. good technical bull move in a secular bear market. And a good technical bull move is the one that started in March 2003 and carried, well, depending on which index you look at, if it was the NASDAQ, the rally petered out in December of last year. If you were looking at utilities, well, it didn't really fail until September. But what's happened in here is that the type of prior loss of momentum in many of the broader indices and the breaks of the August lows and some of the additional selling pressure that we've seen, and note in particular in comment of the day, note that utilities index action. I mean, that speaks volumes to me, and what it says is that that good technical bull within the secular bear is over. Now, that doesn't mean we head straight down, although we could, but I really feel that upside potential for Wall Street now is really limited to some top formation extension prior to what I suspect will be a sharper sell-off, and I've always felt would be a sharper sell-off in 2006. So this is a dodgy time here, a nervous time here for global stock markets. Now, if we get the top formation extension, particularly if Wall Street doesn't go much lower from here and rallies back up to near the upper side of its range for the year, then that would really unleash some of the other stock markets. I would expect Japan to go to a new high on that basis, having seen a relatively short, in terms of time and probably also depth, first step above the base formation. And other top performing markets in recent years, Australia would be one, Canada would be another, Korea would do extremely well, India would do extremely well. Thailand, well, might even break out of that long consolidation that we've seen, not least because it's so cheap on a fundamental basis. Now, that's the good news script, but the odds are probably a bit more strongly in favor of the not-so-hot news, and that Wall Street goes lower, that drags other markets lower, and even then if Wall Street staged a sort of Wall Street goes lower sooner, and even if it staged a medium-term, even if it staged a sort of a year-end rally, any further weakness here by Wall Street in the short term in this current environment where investors' nerves are frayed would drag some of the previous leaders even lower in here. Now, that all creates buying opportunities. And if you don't mind the risk of some additional selling pressure next year, a number of interesting areas, a number of interesting markets have come back into levels where one could at least consider a bit of accumulation. India, I would put in that category. Many of the resources stocks I would most definitely put in that category. I would not be inclined to buy Wall Street because you'll get a better performance almost anywhere else. Now, the exceptions would be if you got a hot story, and oh, don't I wish that I had bought Google. But there are always loads that get away, aren't there? Now, back to the long-term big picture outlook here. Wall Street's risk and probable medium-term correction that we see, if not from here on, then certainly in 2006, in my view, I maintain that it would be inconceivable that Wall Street could get through 2006 without a fairly significant correction. That is really well, the initial parts of those of that weakness would represent the considerable danger period in a number of other stock markets, and it would also conclude in a great buying opportunity, because I think 2007 and 2008 ought to be reasonably good, and there's a chance that they could be very good, certainly for some of the markets that I continue to favor, and those are going to be mainly resources and resources-based markets, plus among the industrial-dominated markets, Japan, first choice, Korea, second choice. Okay, now the secular bull markets that we see in those resources areas and in Japan and Korea, I would expect to move significantly into new high ground. I do expect them to do this in 2007 and 2008, regardless of what we see over the next, say, 15 months or so. Now, moving on, government bonds. We probably will see, well, I'll put it this way, stock market's weak, expect a technical rally in these government bond markets. When stock markets look like they're going to be bottoming out, and when those technical rallies, and let's say they've just begun, we just had a small upward dynamic breaking the downtrend in US Treasury bonds here today. But these are going to be top extension rallies in bond prices. And when those lose momentum, they will present selling opportunities, renewed selling opportunities. That's my strategy here for both the short term and the long term, is sell the rallies in government bonds. I haven't always done it because there's so many other things that are available, but I have done it on a number of occasions, and it's usually been rewarding, and we're only in the top development stage. I have emphasized on so many occasions that we are in the earlier stages of an inflationary cycle. Don't expect to see it in manufactured goods, whether that's some of the high-tech items that you buy, or in shirts or trousers or whatever, because that's the China factor helping to keep prices down in those areas. But pretty well every other bill you pay is going up, as you will have noticed, I imagine. So we have this new inflationary cycle due to all the credit creation that's taken place. That's the electronic version of printing money. And I think we're going to get plenty more printing of money. Yes, central banks will say that they're going to try to rein in inflation, and of course they will do that, and of course they should do that. But given the first hint of stock markets tanking, and we're not quite there yet as far as Fed response or responses in other countries, but given evidence that stock markets are becoming a bit panicky, right now they're just in sort of a schizoid phase along with a number of other markets. And given evidence that economies are weakening sharply, and these central banks are going to start cutting rates once again and pumping more money into the system, and they may well, as we've seen with the Fed, continue to pump money into the system while raising the cost of money, just to prevent the sell-off that, or to prevent the deterioration in markets that would have an adverse effect on economic activity as well. I wrote about that in here today, so I won't go on much more about that. Let me move on to the next category, which is currencies. The most interesting situation is the ability of the US dollar to continue to rally. I think the global stock market sell-off is a factor in that because Americans have been some of the biggest exporters of capital recently, as there has been a raging fashion to invest overseas. American investors, like any other investors who have parked money abroad, get a little bit concerned about about rising risks, and or if they feel more vulnerable. In other words, risk perceptions change, then they start to pull money home. And I think that's helping to firm the dollar in here, as does the interest rate story. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot else going on in currencies recently, other than the interest rate story. Now, why might that be the case? Well, first, I think that any rose-tinted lenses with which the euro was previously viewed, well, that's all pretty well gone, and most of the reserve currencies are viewed as ugly, and it's just a question of which one looks least ugly or most ugly at any particular time. So we're not getting big moves really in these currency markets, and none of them look that attractive. Gold's breakout against all the reserve currencies helped to cement that view. So they're all regarded as suspect, and then the ones that people would be quite optimistic about, say perhaps some of the Asian currencies, well, we know that those governments have been quite diligent in preventing their currencies from appreciating. So it's taken that play away, and that doesn't leave much else other than in basically ranging markets, you want the better yield, so the higher yielding currencies have been a little bit firmer. And you notice the way sterling has, or you may have noticed the way sterling has strengthened in the last few days in here because the Bank of England declined on cutting rates again. Now, once the signal is given by the Federal Reserve, and we're going to have to probably wait until the end of the year at earliest, in November this would be, I think that's their last meeting of the year, possibly. I'm not quite sure on that. But whatever the last meeting of the year is, we're going to have to wait at least until then, and more likely into 2006, the early part of 2006, before we get some sort of signal from the Fed that they've raised interest rates enough. Now, from that point on, the dollar, I suspect, will be extremely vulnerable, and it may become vulnerable in anticipation of that change in stance. And when the US begins to lower interest rates once again, I do expect the dollar to actually become quite weak and retrace some of the very good gains that we have seen. But I do suspect overall that this good rally that we've seen up to this point is part of a overall lengthy bottoming out and base building phase for the US currency. Or if not base building in terms of sustaining a decent advance, just part of a very long trading range that we may see established. Just pausing here to take a quick drink. Excuse me. Okay. Other than that, say interest rate differentials will be a factor that'll help to cushion currencies on the downside and support them on the upside, as long as there is the perception that those interest rates are not going to be cut. And the other factor would be resources. We have a big secular bull market in resources. A lot of people look back at previous cycles and say, no, it's over, it's just a late stock market rally phenomenon. And they'll be encouraged in that belief by the profit taking that we've seen in resources stocks recently. Well, the profit taking is hardly surprising. They had raced ahead, way outperforming just about everything else. So markets become nervous. It's hardly surprising, as I say, that some people will nail down profits in the resources sector. But this is a bull market that I suspect will run and run. It's secular in nature. Yes, we may see lengthy pauses and consolidations of up to 3 years within this, say, 20 year or more cycle for resources on the upside. And basically, I think anytime we see a sell-off in resources that begins to look significant, that's a buying opportunity. And I think many of these stocks have fallen back to some really quite reasonable levels relative to their potential. And I'd put Rio Tinto Zinc in that category. I'd put Billiton. Pretty well the whole sector though. But those are two outstanding companies in the sector. Now, also the Investec Global Energy Fund. I only want to buy that on dips. We have seen a dip here recently. That doesn't mean we couldn't get a further dip. If Wall Street heads south rapidly, we will certainly get a further dip in absolutely everything. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the froth has been blown off the top of those rallies. And so those very attractive resources markets are back in potential buying areas. Now, you've probably seen a lot of comments saying that oil's had it, that copper's had it, and so on. And I don't buy any of that. I just think that the fundamentals of supply and demand here are going to keep these markets firm and rising more often than not for many, many years. It's interesting. I just got back from Dubai late on Wednesday, having left on Monday morning for Dubai. And people talk about China, 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 and the building boom going on there and the demand for the commodities. Well, everywhere I went in Dubai, all I could see all around were construction sites, in addition to the many buildings that have been built recently. But construction sites everywhere. Drive for miles and miles, and you see thousands of cranes all over the place. Well, Dubai alone will really mop up most of the world's available supplies of copper. No wonder the price of that metal keeps pushing higher. It's in scarce supply, as are some of the other metals. So, I don't expect the China urbanization boom to really fade out anytime soon. Certainly not this side of the Olympics in 2008. And then we have India. India is talking about the need for vast infrastructure development. And we're certainly going to see that infrastructure development. The only question is how rapid it actually is, but it certainly lies ahead. That will help create huge demand for these industrial resources. So I expect this to run and run, say, think of it in terms of at least a generation. Okay, elsewhere, what to mention? Well, that's pretty well covered, it hasn't it? Except for the agricultural commodities. And they're still pretty cheap, but it's a tricky area. I do expect prices to move higher, largely in response to supply problems, which would be created by adverse weather conditions more often than not. Now, the best way to treat these, though, is to ignore them until you see a sell-off that really does begin to look overextended and show signs of losing downward momentum. Then you get at minimum a short covering rally, and if that sell-off coincides with any supply concerns, then you'll get quite a significant technical rally. The rest of the time, I would probably avoid them at this stage of the cycle, at any rate. That's it, folks. Have an absolutely spectacular weekend. All the best.